Use of the material on this show does not create an attorney-client relationship. The information contained herein is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only. It should not be construed as legal advice on any subject.
Welcome to the State of Your Estate podcast. Keeping it, enjoying it, passing it on. With your hosts, estate planning attorneys, Morgan and Elizabeth Allison.
Welcome to episode 5 of State of Your Estate. I'm your co-host, Morgan Allison, and we're going to try something a little different today. Today is just going to be me. We're going to have a great episode lined up for you. Today we're talking all about the power of attorney. First up on this episode, we'll talk about powers of attorney generally, and then discuss the springing power of attorney. Next, you'll find out some other ways to protect yourself from someone abusing your power of attorney. And lastly, in our mailbag, we'll answer a question about durable powers of attorney. Do they survive death? So stay tuned. So, before we talk about the springing power of attorney, let's briefly talk about just powers of attorney in general. A power of attorney is a document which allows you to share your legal powers, such as the power to buy or sell property, or the power to enter into a contract. So you grant that power to an agent to act on your behalf. This is a very important tool because it helps make sure that your wishes are carried out even in an emergency situation. It helps you to maintain your privacy by keeping you out of court. If you have a mental condition that's deteriorating, your family won't have to go get court permission to help you take care of your business. And it helps your loved ones to take care of your needs if you're hospitalized or otherwise incapacitated. Now, because we're Louisiana, we have to call everything by some kind of a different name. So the statutes have a special name for all of these things. But we still, in day-to-day usage, even in the practice of law, we still call things what people are used to hearing. So we do tend to use the words power of attorney, even though in Louisiana, it's technically not called a power of attorney. Here in the statutes, it's called a mandate or a procuration. So in the statutes, we call the person who gives the power of attorney, that would be you, we call that person the principal. And the person that we give the power to, which we'd normally call an agent in Louisiana, we say a mandatory. So let's talk about the springing power of attorney. And what the springing power of attorney is, it's a way of protecting you from some kinds of abuse by not working at all unless and until you are actually incapacitated. So no one can use it behind your back until you are actually incapacitated. Then it springs into action and they can put it to use. Now, in Louisiana, the springing power of attorney, instead of that, is technically is called a conditional procuration. Because remember, procuration is a power of attorney, so it's like a conditional power of attorney. It's described in the revised statutes 9:3890, titled conditional procuration, and it defines it. The term conditional procuration means a written document stating that the procuration, the power of attorney, becomes effective upon the disability of the principal. Now, what the statute means by disability here is pretty much what we'd normally mean by incapacity. It defines disability in the statute later on as due to any infirmity the principal is unable consistently to make or to communicate reasoned decisions regarding the care of the principal's person or property. So it's basically, it means it looks like it has a bit of a broader definition, or it's easier to be found disabled than it would be to be found incapacitated or in need of some kind of legal intervention, possibly, because it's you know, it has to do with consistent decision making and consistent ability, so rather than just general disability. So now, for this conditional procuration, springing power of attorney, the statute goes on to say what is normally required, and this is so Article 93890, Section C. The authentic act shall be signed by two physicians licensed to practice medicine by the Louisiana State Board of Medical Examiners who have personally examined the principal. However, if the executed conditional procuration, so if the document so provides, the authentic act may be signed by the attending physician who is licensed to practice medicine by the Louisiana State Board of Medical Examiners and the agent appointed in the conditional procuration. So this section outlines two ways that the springing power of attorney can spring into action. And the default way, if you don't say anything at all, the normal procedure is that two doctors have to certify that you are disabled and incapacitated. The second way is a way you can opt for if you decide to make it easier for your agent to meet the requirements. So instead of having two doctors certify, you have one doctor, your treating doctor, and your agent themselves. So if the agent feels you're disabled, they just get something from your doctor instead of having to go get two doctors. So that does make it a bit easier. But that is something you specifically have to put in the document. Otherwise, you need two doctors. Now, the springing of power of attorney has another practical consideration, and that is, what is the third party going to do? The third party being the bank or the financial institution that you want this power of attorney, springing power of attorney, to affect. So, because you want your agent to be able to take it with them to the bank and say, okay, I need to be able to draw money from this account. I need to access this stuff. So are they going to be willing to accept it? Because you remember in our previous episode, we talked about financial institutions. They're getting leery about recognizing powers of attorney just generally, right? So just a regular power of attorney, we're having trouble getting them to recognize. And now you want them to not only recognize your authority and a power of attorney, but also have to make them go through additional hoops. So now they have to say, oh, maybe this power of attorney doesn't really work, because now we have to see, oh, do we have the certifications from the doctors? Are they legitimate? Are they by notarized, by authentic act? And we have two of them, and it says we need two. Okay, you know. So basically, you're putting more of a burden on the financial institution, and it's a burden they might not want to accept. So there is an alternative to that, and that is, instead of putting together a springing power of attorney with all this built into the document, we just simply prepare a regular power of attorney without all that stuff, but we don't give it to the agent until conditions are met that you specify. For example, you could say, you don't give it to the agent until I'm actually disabled, and you can find, you know, and you can define that how you want to, such as, you know, my treating physician says that I'm disabled. And we wouldn't need to get a certified, notarized document from the doctor, just a letter or fax. You know, fax me something, says that my client is actually disabled or unable to meet, you know, these criteria, is incapacitated in some kind of a way, right? And in that case, I can then send your agent the regular document. So, and then that would be something that hopefully the financial institution wouldn't bat an eye at, because it's all laid out and it's all very simple. So the springing power of attorney is a useful technique to help you protect yourself from an agent possibly abusing their powers. But there are some other techniques which we'll be exploring in the next segment. So don't go away.
Assistance with successions, probate, estate planning, and elder law issues. Call Allison and Allison at 985-853-8557 or visit AllisonEstatePlanning.com.
So now we're going to talk about how to protect yourself from someone abusing your power of attorney that you give them. All right, so look, we're going to say power of attorney a lot, so I'm going to go ahead and abbreviate that for everybody's sanity, just a POA, power of attorney. I don't usually like to use abbreviations and jargon and stuff like that, but I think everybody would be happier if I did. So we talked about the springing POA, and we generally don't recommend that. So what are some other ways to protect yourself from your POA being abused? Well, one way to protect yourself is to not use a general power of attorney, and instead use limited, specific powers of attorney to perform specific acts. And that's because a general power of attorney is very powerful. It allows your agent unlimited authority to act on your behalf. They can do anything that you could do. They could buy anything, sell anything, sign any contract, basically make you responsible for any debt. I mean, it's very broad, very powerful authority. So you could limit it in some way to say they can only access this account. They can only sell this piece of property, or only, you know, you can tailor it very tightly to a specific circumstance. Now, another common strategy to protect your power of attorney, or POA, is to involve a second person. The most basic way to do that is to have co-agents. So instead of having one person have the POA, two people, both people are assigned as co-agents, and they each have to approve every act together. It's just like if there were two signatories on a checking account, for example, where it was person A and person B. They both have to sign for a check to go out. Same thing here. Both have to sign anything for a check, for a sale, to buy something, whatever, execute a contract. They would both have to approve every act together. It's very easy to draft, and it's very effective, but it can also be very unwieldy for your agents, because every time anything would have to be done, they would have to be together, and they would have to do it together, and that would be hard to arrange sometimes. So there's a common variation of that strategy, is instead of having co-agents, you still have one person who is the primary agent, and the second person would be more of a protector. Well, let's talk about the first person. The first person, your primary agent. That agent would have general power and could act independently and could execute things themselves, etc., but have a limit as to amounts beyond which the protector has to be involved. So, for example, the agent that you have may have the ability to draw from an account up to, let's say, $100 every day, and they can draw that from the account without any oversight. But if they wanted to draw a greater amount than that, then it would have to be signed by the protector agent. Or they have unlimited power over a specific account, but not a different account. Okay, so you can, you know, or to deal with real estate, they would have to involve the protector agent. So there's a lot of flexibility there, a lot of possibilities to tailor it to your specific needs so that you have an agent that has all the power that they absolutely need, but not so much that it would be subject to abuse. Now, the best defense against abuse is if you're not incapacitated, you have the power to take it back at any time. You can cancel a power of attorney at any time, as long as you're not incapacitated. But what would happen if you are incapacitated and your agent isn't doing right by you? Well, that would be something that other family members would have to step in, but what could they do? Well, there is sort of an emergency method to take the power away from an abusive agent, and we'll get into that in the mailbag segment coming up, so stay with us. Welcome to our mailbag segment, where we answer questions from you, our listeners. If you'd like to leave us a question, visit the website at AllisonEstatePlanning.com or call us at 985-853-8557. If you go to our website, there's a little push button thing if you're on a cell phone or at a computer, and you press the button and you can leave a message just right then and there. It's pretty awesome. Now, today's question is actually one of the very first questions I was ever asked as an estate planning attorney. And it was this: does the power granted by a durable power of attorney survive past the principal's death? Well, the simple answer is no. And there is actually a statute which makes this very clear. It's also worth taking a look at, because it also gives us a way to terminate a power of attorney that might be being abused. So let's take a look at this. This is Civil Code Article 3024. Termination of the mandate and of the mandatory's authority. So in addition to causes of termination of contracts under the titles governing yada yada yada, both the mandate and the authority of the mandatory terminate upon the... and has three cases. Number one, death of the principal or the mandatory. Number two, interdiction of the mandatory. Number three, qualification of the curator after the interdiction of the principal. Okay, so let's take a look at this. As we said, death of the principal ends the mandate. Remember, mandate is the power of attorney, and that's under section one, death of the principal. Or of the mandatory is what the statute says. So if your agent passes away, the power of attorney is terminated. So it's not like it's hereditary or something like that. Second, the interdiction of the mandatory. So that's the agent. Remember, so if your agent becomes interdicted, the agent doesn't have the power to make contracts and stuff, well, they can't exercise your power to sign contracts and buy and sell either. So if they're interdicted, the power of attorney is terminated. But let's take a look at the third one. And also, let me back up a little bit. What's an interdiction, right? Okay. An interdiction is our special word in Louisiana for an incompetency hearing. So in other states, they say, you know, we want to have someone declared incompetent, so they're not able to take care of their business. They can't make contracts and stuff. They need a guardian, all right? They're legally incapacitated. So that's what we call that kind of proceeding in Louisiana. It's called an interdiction. They are interdicted. And the person who's declared incompetent, instead of declaring them incompetent, they're declared to be an interdict. And someone is appointed to look after them. And that person is called a curator instead of guardian. Other states may say guardian, may have some other words. So we have a curator for an interdict rather than a guardian for an incompetent. So back to our story. If the principal, the person who has the power of attorney, if they are interdicted, they're declared incompetent by a court, and someone is appointed to take care of them, like a guardian, or what we call a curator, then any power of attorney that principal had is terminated. Because now, what's happening? Their power is terminated, that person's power is terminated, the curator now has the power and the responsibility to make decisions for the interdict. If a principal is interdicted, or is basically incapacitated, This is the only way to take a power of attorney from them. So if you become incapacitated, it would be up to your family to step in and start the legal process to have you interdicted. So as an example, let's say this is about your grandmother, and you have a cousin, and your cousin has the power of attorney for your grandmother. Maybe the cousin's living with her or something like that. And if you think your cousin is abusing that power and spending all of grandmother's money and not treating grandmother properly, you can file with the court to have grandmother interdicted. And she would have to be found incompetent by the court, and you would have to ask the court to appoint you as the curator. If the court agrees and you're appointed curator, then you have full authority over her affairs, and the power of attorney that your cousin had would now be terminated. Now, obviously, that is something we really try to avoid for our clients. We want to stay out of court. Okay, we feel like it's our job to keep you and your family out of court as much as possible. That's why we want to avoid probate. We want to avoid interdiction, because that's all a big public process and expensive and messy, and nobody wants it. So what that means is that we want to draft a power of attorney that has protections for you to protect you from abuse so that you don't have to be interdicted. And we also want to use a trust. And a trust will, in fact, grant authority to the trustee that survives the death of a principal. So the answer to the original question really should be no, a power of attorney does not survive, but a trust does. So give us a call. We can help you prepare a plan that will protect your assets, that will keep you and your family out of court, and will carry out your wishes, even if you're incapacitated and even after you pass away. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to our show. And remember, if you need help with a succession, a probate, or estate planning, call us at 985-853-8557. And turn into our next episode. Next week, we'll be talking about estate planning and privacy issues. So, see you then.
The latest episodes of this podcast, informative articles, and special exclusive offers from Allison and Allison and other providers delivered to your email inbox. Subscribe to our email newsletter at allisonestateplanning.com/newsletter.